We're holding Tanit Beeliyahu, the second chapter, the ninth paragraph. And the Medrash has been expanding on the Psukim. The Psukim in David HaMelech's last prophecy, in which David HaMelech describes Ucheor Boker Yizrach Shamesh, as the light, the sun in the morning, shines and gets more and more powerful, so too the tzaddikim, their shine grows. Boker lo avot, like a morning without clouds. Minoga mimatar deshe me'aretz, from the light of the rain, the grass of the ground grows. Amar David HaMelech. So now we're beginning the Medrash. David HaMelech said, Ani agid tzidkotav v'chasadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will tell over the righteousness and the acts of kindness that God does, shehu oseim Yisrael bechol sha'ah, that He does with Israel at all times. Bechol yom v'yom, every day Adam nimkar, man is sold. Uvechol yom Adam nifdeh, and every day man is redeemed. How so? Ba'erev ruchos shel Adam nitlet himenu. Come nightfall, man goes to sleep, his spirit is taken from him. Our sages taught us that sleep is 1/60th of death. So when a person goes to sleep, his neshama is taken, v'nitnet levala pikadon, and is given to its keeper, the one who is going to watch over it. God takes our neshama at night. V'laboker machzrin ota elav, and in the morning, they give it back to us. And some want to say that the Medrash is alluding to the fact that prior to Adam's sin, before Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, there was going to be a world without death. And some want to say that by the same token that there would have been no death in this world, there would have been no need for sleep in this world. Because sleep is 1/60th of death. Well, if you don't need death in the world, you don't need sleep. And what the Medrash is saying is, David HaMelech is saying, I'm going to discuss the acts of kindness that God does, that God gives us back our neshama every day, so to speak. And every night when we go to sleep, that's a fulfillment of the curse. If you eat from the forbidden fruit, you will die. And in the morning, God says, I'm going to forego that curse. I'm going to give them back their neshama. And that's what David HaMelech says. I'm going to recount the acts of kindness that God does with the Jewish people at all times. And the first thing we're referring to is that on every day, man is sold, so to speak. He is sold to death every night when he goes to sleep, and he is redeemed that God gives him life again every morning. Shneimav, as the verse states, Biyadecha afkid ruchi. In your hand, God, I give the keeping of my spirit, of my soul. Padita oti Hashem kelemet. And you have redeemed me, Hashem, the true force in the world. So what redemption? So this is a reference to what we do every night. We give our soul to the keeping of God, and God redeems us. Now, on a simple level, we can understand it that when a person goes to sleep at night, so he doesn't really know what's going on around him. This Shabbos, we were in a yeshuv. And as we were approaching the home we were staying in, we were given a home the owners were away for Shabbos. So our host gave us, we had the whole house to ourselves. And as we were approaching, I told my wife, if I remember correctly, it's either this home or the next home over that Arabs penetrated this yeshuva and murdered the previous owner of the home. Because it's the home that's on the outskirts of the yeshuva. It's the last house before you have barren field and then an Arab settlement. So as we're approaching at night, I told my wife, if I remember correctly, this is where someone was murdered. And it wasn't such a good thing to say. when we went into the house, every creak, every time a door moved, the wind moved something, we'd jump. So on a simple level, the verse is referring to the fact that at every night, we're vulnerable. We go to sleep. And we give over our watching, our safekeeping to God. We say, I got to go to sleep, God, that's how you created me. At this point, I leave it to you to watch me. That's the simple understanding. But the Medrash is going differently. The Medrash is going that the verse is saying we literally give our souls over to Hashem. We know that Chazal taught us that every night we go to sleep, our neshama goes up to heaven, and God asks it, what'd you do today? And then there's a reporting. Every night our neshama reports up in heaven what we've done, and it's recorded. So the psukim are referring to it as though we give our neshama for safekeeping to Hashem, and Hashem redeems our neshama, so to speak. Hashem again annuls that decree that there will be death in the world and gives us back life every morning that we wake up, we open our eyes. On any given day, man has miracles that equal the miracles that the Jews witnessed upon leaving Egypt. Because when we left Egypt, we entered a desert. We had 2 million people traversing a desert. Now, if nature would have taken its course, we wouldn't have made it. So God intervened and gave us man. Bread fell from heaven. That's a miracle. When we earn our livelihood on any given day, we feel like we've earned it. And the Medrash is telling us that we have to recognize that the parnasa that we acquire on any day, that's really equal to the miracles of leaving Mitzrayim. We're accustomed to it. But the fact that we can make ends meet, that we do exist in this world, that we succeed in overcoming the difficulties of making a living, that the Medrash says should be viewed like the miracles of leaving Egypt. The miracles of Mitzrayim are not to be seen as a one-time thing in history, but rather they're supposed to be viewed as an eye-opener. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to recognize God's hand in everything that goes on in the world. Bechol yom vayom miyaslim oto ketinok lifnei rabo mipnei ma'asav. On any given day, every day, man is afflicted like a young child in front of his Rebbe. The Rebbe says, why'd you get up? I told you not to. Whack. Why'd you talk in the middle of class? I told you not to. Write me 100 times, I will not talk in the middle of class. So a teacher will sometimes punish a student. So too, the difficulties that mankind encounters in this world is really a result of mankind's actions. I'll prove it, says the Medrash, Eliyahu HaNavi saying, 974 דורות קודם שנברא העולם העביר הקדוש ברוך הוא את כל דבריו לפני זרעו של אברהם יצחק ויעקב. 974 generations prior to the creation of the world, God passed over his words before the offsprings of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and said, אמר מתי יגיע וישמע דבר מפיהם? When will I finally hear words from their mouth? שנאמר, the verse states, למנצח מזמור דוד השמיים מספרים כבוד כל. So what's this Medrash talking about? The Pasuk states in Tehillim, Devar tziva le'elef dor. The God's word, he gave over, he commanded to the thousandth generation. And this teaches us that the generation that received the Torah is really the thousandth generation. The problem is that when we look in the Torah, we see that there were 26 generations from Adam to Moshe. 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Avram, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Amram, Moshe. We have 26 generations from creation till Moshe Rabbeinu. So take off 26 from 1,000. What do you get? 974. So we have a tradition that 974 generations prior to creation, God started the planning of the Torah and the world. And that's why we say the Torah was given to the thousandth generation. Really, those 974 generations didn't exist. There were 974 generations before the world was created. But already 974 generations prior to the creation of the world, God said, when will my word be heard before the offsprings of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So whenever you encounter this term, that the Torah was existent 974 generations prior to the world, that's a reference to this concept. That the verse states, the Torah was given to the thousandth generation, and in fact it was the 26th generation since creation. So we say it's 1,000 generations from when the conception of the thought existed in heavens. The verse states, L'amnatzeach mizmor leDavid, to the conductor, a song compiled by King David, Hashemayim mesaprim kvod kel. The heavens, they recount the honor of God. Fa'alo inan ruin lesaper ma'asev reshit. But the heavens aren't really the ones that are fit to speak about the creations. Almost all of creation was created from the earth. We say that God created matter, God created the heavens, and God created the earth. And then God took the matter on earth, the earth and the water, and then changed matter and made it into the different creations. But in essence, we say that almost everything was created from earth. So what does the verse mean, the heavens will recount the honor of God? The first understanding the Medrash is giving us is that the heavens were created first, and therefore they can recount the praise of God. Because the heavens are an integral part of the partnership that feeds all of the living organisms. The rain comes down from heaven, the stars, the sun, the moon, they all cause the fruits and vegetables to grow. Our sages taught us that the moon also causes vegetation to grow. The moon has an effect on the growth of the... What?
Cucumbers.
Okay. The Gemara discusses different things, that the moon affects their growth. So the heavens, they play a key role in the growth of all living organisms. 6 months they grow the fruits in the winter when it's raining, and in the summer, in the winter the heavens offer the rains, and in the summer they offer the sun and the moon and the stars that cause things to ripen. And all living creatures live off of the heavens, and all of God's creations in the world need the heavens, meaning the sky, the clouds, the sun, the moon, in order to live. So the first understanding the Medrash is offering us is that the heavens should recount the glory, the honor of God, because they're the ones that all of creation, that sustain all of creation. And then the Medrash is going to give us a few other understandings, and then get back to the point that we're trying to say, that the world was created for the Jewish people to receive the Torah and live a proper life, a moral life in the way of the Torah. And that's where the Medrash is headed now, to illustrate this concept from this verse. But right now the Medrash offered us one understanding in this verse. And let's just recount what we saw today in this Medrash. David HaMelech says he will recount the righteousness and kindness of God, that he does it at all times, that man, when he goes to sleep, is really in a state of semi-death, and God gives him back life. He wakes up in the morning, and that's what we say, that we give our soul, we give our spirit up to Hashem at night, and God redeems us. God gives us life every morning. And we said that on every day, man really encounters miracles, just like when we left Egypt. The exodus from Egypt was supposed to be an eye-opener, so that we recognize God's hand in everything that happens every day. And the Medrash went on to discuss that the thought of giving the Jewish people the Torah, the conception of the Torah, was 974 generations prior to the creation of the world. And God stood in attendance, waiting for the Jewish people to come, so that God would be able to give them the Torah. And that's what the verse means, that the Torah was given to the 1,000th generation, even though it was 26 generations after creation. And then the Medrash started expanding on how David HaMelech means that the heavens give the glory to Hashem. And we saw the first understanding, that all of creation needs the heavens in order to remain sustained. Yeah. No, I'm with you.
We said that when Adam, they're supposed to live forever. Now, when exactly, when he fell asleep and Hashem took the rib out, do we consider that as the beginning, as that 60th part of death, or do we consider that the 60th part of death only came after he ate the fruit?
I don't know, but the point that you're raising is a very, very good point. We do find sleep prior to the eating of the Eitz Hadas, but we could understand, according to this Medrash, according to that understanding in this Medrash, that's why the verse states that God put Adam to sleep. Meaning, if we're going to go with this understanding, that prior to the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, just as there wasn't death in the world, there was also no need for sleep in the world, so then we can understand why the verse stresses Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadema Al Adam. God put Adam to sleep, Vayishan, and then Adam slept. So on the surface it seems, well, God needed to put him out in order to do this operation. That's the simple understanding. But according to this Medrash, we can understand that God didn't wait for him to go to sleep at night because he wasn't going to go to sleep at night. There was no such concept. So God put him to sleep, and then God took out a rib. That's how we could theoretically understand it. Doesn't say it, but according to the point you're raising, I wouldn't have thought of it. But now going with what you're saying, it's understandable why the verse adds these points, that God put him to sleep. Okay? Another question? I'm with you.